Welcome to the Backstage Pass, where we go backstage and have a little bit of a VIP chat.
That's a good name.
That's a real fucking good name.
Thank you, thank you. I've been kind of holding on to that one for a little while. So this is the first... this is interesting because this is not the first Backstage Pass that we've recorded, although we didn't call it the Backstage Pass then. We recorded a couple of kind of talkback episodes, obviously, for Whispering Ashes, and then we're going to do the same for Leth One. But this is going to be probably the first one that you hear. And what a one to start on. A lot of big reveals.
I miss having another person in my party.
Yeah.
I miss playing D&D.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Jim. I did warn you. I was like, look, I'm sorry,
I did
Jim.
Get a message to be like, you're not a part of this anymore.
Yeah. I don't know what Bren's going to do. Look, we'll do an offshoot of Bren and Melody having an adventure.
Yeah.
Cool. I thought you were going to say having an affair.
It wouldn't be an affair. They're both single.
I know, but just when you started with the Ed.
What were our thoughts about episode 32? I believe it's episode 32 or episode 3 of the new arc.
It was very interesting, but just tell me when I can go on this, okay? Just...
Catgirls ruin everything around me.
Yeah, catgirls ruin fucking everything.
Yeah, I mean, you know what, Jim? Yeah, you didn't get to speak a lot in the actual episode, so hit me. You've got the pages here.
Fucking 20 years ago, okay? Yeah. Lay it out. Here's everything that was happening in Leth One 20 years ago.
Sure, yeah.
Fucking Hoot Force in full effect. The war ended as the Hootsman came up, right?
I'll give some clarity, because this is stuff that you would know.
Yeah.
12 years ago, the War of Unity ended.
Yes.
The War of Unity ended, obviously...
12 years ago.
12 years ago.
With the Rise of the Hootsman.
With the Rise of the Hootsman.
That just makes my theory fucking cool.
He arrived... Actually, this is something that...
Didn't he end the war?
He was the one who...
Single-handedly ended the war.
So the stories go. So he was... Yeah, responsible for ending the war, which ended about 12 years ago. The war itself... started 20 years before that. So the war has been going for about 32 years ago. And then in around that time in the war, Emeralia, all the other dragons were killed, which may or may not be something, an event called Dragonfall.
Dragonfall, right? Yeah.
Yeah, then it was the Hoots Force kind of came to be at the... Not the end of the war, like the first couple of years after the war is when like the Hoots Force were founded.
He ended the war and then he made the Hoots Force.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
Okay, so here's all the happenings in and around the time of the war.
Sure.
So I'm talking this...
Am I going to have to get my poker face on? Well, I'm going to start 12... like this. So I don't give anything away.
Okay, I'm just going to lay it all out there.
Sure,
and then
I'm going to lay
out my questions at the end.
Yeah, I reserve the right to refuse to answer any questions.
Okay. So we have the War of Division, major factors we know that were in play in the War of Division.
Yeah.
We have Holy Thunder Force and the Armies of the North.
Yeah.
We have the Azumakian forces.
Mm-hmm.
Azumakia, we know, worships dragons or was heavily involved with dragons.
It's actually not something that's come out in podcast, but that's
Sorry,
something
this
that
is
we have.
Bren backstory.
Yes.
Yes.
Bren would know this from being from Azumakia. Yes.
Yes. Okay. We have the Dragon Empire. I can't remember its name.
I actually didn't give the name in. The episode
we
there.
Know, we like it's come up in podcasts that there has been a dragon empire that
yes,
fell.
Yes, yes, yes. I think empire is maybe the wrong word for it. Kind of like a conclave of like
okay, a conclave.
There was like a cabal.
That's even better. That works better.
Yeah.
We have the Hoots for the Hootsman.
Yes.
Springing to the fore, coming out the ass of this.
Yes.
We have the Cult of Division.
Yes.
In play.
Yes.
Yes, we have the Cult of Division doing Cult of Division fucking things.
Yes.
Chaos Michaela, coming into the land.
Michaela is active at this point.
Yes.
Yes. Bren is born around this time.
Yes.
Cid is born around this time.
Yes.
Okay. All the dragons are killed.
Cid would have been born in the tail half of the War of Unity.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
Because you're 18, yeah. It ended 12 years ago, so you had about in like year 14 of the war.
Azumakia goes on the march, right?
Just in general, like?
Just in general. In But they held back for a while.
No, they actually went south first. They were kind of one of the initial aggressors.
Yeah.
And in the War of Unity, they went south down to... I actually kind of took a lot of this from Russia, that Russia goes south a lot because they don't have access to ports. So it's their geography that does it. And Azamakia are very much a landlocked region to the east.
Okay.
But there is a large port south of them.
And where this cabal of dragons.
Yes.
Is that geographically located anywhere? Or is there...
I'm not going to answer anything about the cabal of dragons.
Okay, so this is where my theories now start kicking in. We have a cabal of dragons. Okay, we know that there was a dragon underneath town around the time that the war was kicking off. Which, you know, you could extrapolate knowledge that maybe they were dragons controlling a lot of the societies, right? I mean, you said as much in the episode. So we have dragons controlling the world, secret cabal of dragons. All the dragons start getting killed. Why do you kill something? To take its power. What do you need to end a war? A whole fucking mess of power, right?
So he was sucking out the...
He was sucking off the dragons?
Yeah. The Hoot Forest man has been going around, going down on dragons.
Yeah. Sucking off dragons.
So the Hoot Man...
If there's anything that's been proven in this last episode, is I'm really into bestiality, so yeah.
Fuck me, yeah. You wouldn't, because I'm a human.
Not anymore.
Yeah.
Now you got a tail.
Yeah, oh. Shit. Oh. Fuck. let me get my thoughts straight here. Okay.
Fucking this is anything but straight.
Secret cabal of dragons. Yeah, secret cabal of dragons. Hoarding all the power and knowledge. We got the Hootsman, potentially. I'm in the full potential here. And this is all absolutely wishy-washy. Going around, killing dragons. Starting dragon falls, uprisings. Wiping out all the shitty time for dragons. Taking power. Using that power to fucking end the War of Division. Which, let's face it, start the War of Division as well. Probably. Fucking maybe. Look at that poker face.
He's not good at him.
He's not going to give it. So this is between...
Yeah, no, this is like... I'm just really enjoying that, like, seeing theory crafting about it. This is the most joy I've had in this campaign.
Shut up. He also has access to a heap of dragon bodies. Now, if he's been killing dragons, there are dragon corpses out there. We know that realms are bursting into each other, right? We can probably assume that that was going on back then as well, because we know that...
But we've seen nothing to say that, like, you need corpses and stuff.
Well, no, we've not seen anything like that, but...
Like, what's his name? Like, Axel was able to, you know, cause some...
Okay, yeah, okay, so we'll take the corpses out of it then, but he has access to dragons, let's say. Right?
Yeah.
He's not answering me anything. He has access to dragons.
But I feel like when you suck a dragon mutations. Off, that it, you know, dissipates into its power.
Well, he has access to dragon seed, if he just didn't swallow.
Fucking Christ.
Well, no. So he has access to dragons. The questions I have, I've answered half of them here to myself, but the planes that are bursting in and out of each other.
Yeah.
We know that exposure to that energy is causing the mutations.
Yeah.
We know that a mutated dragon was responsible for the fall of Holy Thunder Force.
We kind of do, yeah. But yeah, we do.
Well, I mean, if you've seen Khan's vision, you know that a mutated dragon was responsible for the fall of Holy Thunder Force, right? That's
canon
information we have.
But Rykara said that they come in all shapes and sizes anyway.
Yeah, but not wolf dragons, I don't think. That to me...
No, if you listen back carefully... I specifically don't use the word shape.
You use colors. Because I remember being like, Emeralia was definitely a green dragon.
Mm. Actually, an emerald dragon.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Right? So he didn't specify. Because it is a mutation, right?
This isn't to confirm or anything, but this is to just kind of solidify what the world is. Because obviously something that your characters would know. That a lot of stuff like dragons and stuff... I've not changed from the books.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
A lot of theirs are
because I know quite... you're often in the DMG.
I very much take exactly from the monster manual. The only thing I really change about the monsters is that they aren't here yet.
Yeah.
But in terms of how they act, what they do is very much by the book. But obviously in Worlds, the monster manual is Cid's book, right? Like that's what Cid is writing, so I want that to reflect each other.
Yeah.
So
sure.
So when it comes to dragons, then there are chromatic and metallic and gem dragons that follow the same kind of chromatic ones are generally evil.
What did you write about crabs there?
They have two pincers, generally evil.
Yes.
Yeah, Crab Lante. Was he in the book?
Yes.
What was he, out of curiosity?
Crab Lante.
Cool?
I want to go back to my theory crafting while he looks at that. Oh, yeah, okay, a Crab Lante. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, no, I genuinely, I just don't, I very rarely ever, I very rarely ever
change. Is that Mr. Fister?
No, that was,
yeah, no, fuck off, that was Mr. Fister.
That was the Kuotoa.
No, it was two pages.
Yeah, no, I know where it is. Like, Hydra's, okay, I changed Hydra a little bit because.
They're the brighter and the,
yeah. Yeah.
Where the fuck was that? There.
I wasn't far off with my artwork.
No,
actually.
Mr. Fisher was actually based more on a Sahagin. Sorry,
I'm just
fucking wrecking all of the ignored all my notes here where I have clearly putting in things of like what I think is going to be relevant. It's more what I was talking about with Mr. Fisher.
Oh no, he's definitely the other one.
No, he's the other one.
It's a mix. It was a mix between Sahagins, lizard folk.
I'm
off this.
Sorry.
It was any kind of fish people.
You're trying to distract me.
Sorry, no. Why I bring this up is that when Rekaria, also, there's a very, very funny, this is something I'm going to give a behind the scenes nod to. Mm. Do you know why I came up with Rekaria? Because I was looking at legendary Pokemon to
Rayquaza. Nice.
Yeah. And that's where Rekaria came from. But the point of what I'm making about dragons is that chromatic dragons and metallic dragons would be at odds. Not every dragon, therefore, would be part of the cabal. You're going to have other dragons who are going to go rogue or going to be evil.
Factions.
There are dragon factions, that sort of thing. Yeah, that
can
would
dragons
be a normal
do the
thing.
I don't know if this is a D&D thing or just like a WoW thing, but can dragons do the
yes.
have a human form?
Yes, they can.
Ooh, it's all even more coming together. Hootsman is a dragon, confirmed.
Interesting theory.
No, I don't know about that. But do you know what are two very similar
things?
So
he's a dragon going around sucking off other dragons.
Do you know what are two very similar things, though? Chaos and division, don't you think?
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, they're a chaotic force.
Yeah. And if the dragons were all like, oh, we like order, how'd you get rid of order? You divide everything so it swishes around and smashes together. So whoever wanted to fuck dragons over was on the side of chaos. Chaos is division.
Unless it's a chaos dragon.
If the Hootsman was the one going around killing the dragons, sucking them off like I thought, and he was an order, and if he's fucking, you know, a champion of chaos, and chaos is division. Does the Hootsman's origins begin in the cult of division?
You would have to try and find out about the Hootsman's origins. I will throw a spanner in your work. So
okay, because my theory isn't one solid line. I'm just getting all the pieces on the board.
Of course, and you. And I'm,
this is me I, and my I'm Charlie quite, Kelly.
Yeah,
here's
I'm
my
quite
pinboard.
Proud of myself because this is kind of the level of theory crafting I want you at, you know? So you're playing right into my trap. I won't do it. The Hootsman was responsible for uniting everything, which is
That's very much a
symbol of order.
Yeah. Okay. And
so
uniting something is the opposite of division. No, you're right. I should have seen that.
Unless you're dividing so you can unite it again under your own self.
Yeah.
I mean, look at what, you know, look at what the Galactic Empire did.
Yeah, look what Thanos was trying to do. Fuck everything over so he could remake it in his own image. Mm. Which is what the Hootsman would have done, having the Hoots Force as the primary power. So yeah, maybe he was like, fuck this dragon cabal and having everything divided and in separate things. I'm a fuck everything up with chaos and then remake it in my own image.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what the Cult of Division was.
Yeah.
Fucking break everything so we can remake it.
Yeah.
This is great.
I'm trying to remember what the old lady said in Delnok. She was feeding back lines to us that she'd heard before.
Yeah.
We're stronger when we're divided. But it was oxymoronic as well, whatever she was saying.
Yeah.
Which plays
strength
into your
division.
Theory.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not there yet. I'm ear and road airing this theory so hard. I'm not there yet, but I'm getting there.
Yeah. That was a nice stream of consciousness, Jim. What did you think about Rekaria and your Sphinx challenge? And just like the general, like what were you originally expecting to find down in this tunnel?
I knew it was going to be some animal keeper of knowledge.
Sure.
So based on just riddles and things like that, I actually had a very good idea it was going to be a sphinx.
Yeah, nice.
Which is why I kept...
Was that from before or from when I started the challenge?
Just in general.
Okay.
Just, I figured I've played enough Magic the Gathering and I literally...
It is a very sphinxy thing to do.
I put you all...
Guarding knowledge under something.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I did an entire thing for you all in Ravnica once before. You know, so...
Yep.
Sphinx is keepers of knowledge. Like that.
I mean, again, I'm not going off book. I'm just presenting the book in different ways.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just the book through a different lens.
Basically. Although Sid liked Ray...
Big Ray, please. Give her a proper title.
He actually wasn't attracted to her. It was just a funny bit in there. Don't worry, Bren. But
Bren is worried.
Sid is starting to get annoyed with town in general. Ray helped a lot with that. You know, he was getting way more annoyed, but just the hoops.
Yeah.
For everything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's no amount of trust or anything like that. You know, it's just
something that's that might be interesting that maybe you haven't fully considered, or maybe I haven't fully presented in the right way, is obviously I think we've made it very, very clear that town is incredibly slow.
Yeah.
And there's so much hoops and so much bureaucracy, and they're so focused on doing...
They can't determine anything until every hypothesis has been tried
exactly.
out.
And, you know, then if you look at the Hoots Force, not necessarily the Hoots Force, but if you look at Maynard's lab, and there was all this fucking wild Arcano tech and stuff that was down there that was coming out of Valagar that, like, Melody recognized and stuff like that. Not a fucking hint of that in town. Like... Town is very,
very conservative with their tech, like
not even with the tech,
just everything.
Everything.
Well, it's just simply the idea
they're not open to change.
Like. Everything they know is perfect truth,
perfect.
and you know they will have great things, but they're not going to be willing to innovate, and they probably
It's like the idea with Sid with his, you know, I was thinking about this anyway, that Sid with his book, you know, his original thing he was going to do when he came back. In like 5 years or 6 years, you know, with it, and it was fully vetted and everything, it was going to be the perfect record of all the new beasts and everything that were out there. But in between that time, any of the knowledge in town of any of the beasts or anything, it's only going to be the old news until they had perfectly vetted every single thing that was new that was out there.
I also noticed she said something very interesting in the middle of it.
Which she said didn't like streaming, but then it turned out she did. She was lying.
Because you could see her Twitch details in her URL. Yeah. But no.
Someone donated and like a big thing flashed. Like her eyes went.
She said in the middle of it, she was like allowing the correct knowledge out. And I was like, oh, that's very hypocritical.
Yeah.
We allow the correct knowledge out is a roundabout way of saying we censor the fuck out of the world.
Yeah, and Sid did not like that.
Yeah.
I mean, Sid at this point is also quite naive in thinking that all knowledge should go to everyone. You know, there obviously is a bit of truth in what she's saying.
That, yeah.
You know, you don't want everyone to know everything.
Yeah, you don't
because
put
there's
the fucking...
The Necrogoblicon in someone evil's hands.
Yeah.
Yeah. But there's also who, you know, how much is censored and what's the right level.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
and at what point are they biased in what they're letting out? Like, you know, are they withholding information that would be detrimental to them, but...
But Sid also
to the rest of the world, you know?
Town is neutral. Town is gray. And he understands, you know, he started his conversation with her, was saying that.
Yeah.
I get that, you know. He does understand that there has to be a neutrality in there, you know.
Yeah.
There's a certain bit of, you don't do an experiment just because you can, you know.
Yeah. I think what's, because obviously, I think maybe this will be like the last kind of point we discuss for this, but what I think has been really, really interesting about Town is the dual approach that me and you have had towards world building it, because obviously you've done a lot of the day-to-day world building of what it's like to live in town, and obviously you coming that from your character's perspective, whether that's intentional or not, but like, you know, obviously that's how you're going to frame things in your head, be like, okay, well, I'm from town was like this, therefore I'm like that, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm coming from a world building perspective, and so it's really interesting to see kind of like, it's like when you grow up and you realize, oh, the world isn't actually as simple as I thought. You know, there's multiple layers to everything. And so I think it's really, really interesting to see kind of those layers reveal themselves to Sid and how Sid's dealing with that, I think is really, really, it's cool.
I was actually talking about that with my brother yesterday, that, you know, because I'm from America and I'm from, a country.
Sorry.
Like, I'm from, like,
sorry,
out in the country.
You're from America?
Oh, no.
I thought he was Dutch.
And, like, growing up, you know, with other kids and everything, going to school with other kids, and we all believe our, you know, things, and we're all on the same plates, you know, playing on the playground and everything. And then you start hit a certain age and you're like, whoa, why are you a racist? You know,
yeah,
stuff like that. And it's like, what happened here? You know, and it's like, as a kid growing up, you don't see everything, you know, until one day you do. And you're like, whoa.
Yeah.
I still don't think town is by any means a bad place, and I don't really want it to go down.
No, my intention has never been to portray a town as a bad place, but to be a...
It's intentionally gray, you know?
It's neutral. It is intentionally gray, and it's a frog place. It's not a perfect place.
I just said it's a frog place.
It's a frog place. Yeah. It's where Bellicor hops around in his hoppy pond. but like, yeah, and it's, you know, as... to take the America example, you know, people in America think America's perfect, and then... You grow up, you see it from a different lens. You're like, oh, hang on. I only think it's perfect because that's why I grew up. That's the bubble I grew up in. Mm. The same for anything. Just once that bubble bursts and you look at things from different angles, you're like, oh, everything is fucked. Everything's weird. Everything is not simple.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Okay, that was a lot of interesting theory crafting. Nice little discussion. Thank you very much. Until the next time on the Backstage Pass. Stay dangerous.
As they say in town.
Fuck you.